Good evening. Yeah, well, let's have the GGCA teachers stand just for a moment. If you teach in GGCA, we just want to, like, have you stand for a minute and just say thank you. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dawn, thank you. Thank you so much. They really work hard, and they're so much in the team, and Pastor Barry does such a great job. It's amazing. It's in our hearts. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And I want to introduce our theme tonight. I'm not sure. I've got a lot of thoughts going on in my heart and my mind, and I think if I take my time, maybe the Holy Spirit will bring it together. And the first part of it is a very interesting text in Matthew 23. And I just need the iPad for a second for a short diagram. So turn to Matthew 23. A lot of you know about the cancel culture that is happening in our country. And I think this text is interesting. It's Matthew 23 and verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. The Pharisees looked into the past and they see Isaiah was murdered, Jeremiah persecuted, driven out of town, some of the prophets stoned and killed. And so years later, the other people look at them and say, well, let's build them tombs. And I mean, sepulchres of honor, shrines, or tombs of a mausoleum, or, you know, this type of idea that you can see them in a small degree in Israel today. And then this is what he says, verse 30. If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Now, I'll draw this picture here of Thomas Jefferson, who had slaves. Thomas Jefferson, and there's no question slavery is in our history. It's wrong. It hurt a lot of people. It wasn't a righteous thing. So many generations later, we look at today, and what do we say today? We would not have done that. We would not have done that. We would not have slaves. We do not have today. We are more sophisticated, more righteous. We would not have slaves. Let's do the prophets here. Here's the prophets. Generations later, they say, oh, they shouldn't have been killed. We would not have done that if it was done in our day. We would not have done that. Now, in both ideas, I mean, whether it's in the past, you look into the past and you have pride and you say, I would not have done that. That was wrong. There are many things that people have done in the past that I would not have done. I would not have done that. I am more honorable, more righteous than those people in the past. And of course, this parallels another picture here, which is a theory of evolution is the general idea that man is improving, right? That he's improving and he's getting better, smarter. The technology is proof of that. That we have a man on the moon, we have iPhones, we have satellites in outer space. We are better. We are better. It just means we can kill more people. We can cheat better. We can cheat on our computer. We can destroy somebody by social media, not by a bullet, but by my social media platform. The technology is not the proof of improvement. But this isn't, I want you to see what Jesus said to them. Look at Matthew 23, verse 31. Wherefore, be ye witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. And let's make that diagram. Here's Thomas Jefferson, who has slaves many years, generations later. Here are we, and we say, oh, I can't believe that he did that. And Jesus said, why don't you believe it? You're the same way. You're the children of him. You came from him. Everyone in this room is a child of Adam and Eve. Everyone in this room is capable of every sin that has ever been committed. Everyone in this room has a pride and an arrogance where we say, ha, unbelievable. This cancel culture is so filled with arrogance at the heart of it, they don't understand their own hearts, their own errors, and who they are the children of. They are the children of the people that were in Nazi Germany, Communist Soviet Union. They are the children of human beings who are capable of manipulation and pride and judgmentalism and crucifying the Son of God. We are the children of those that killed the prophets. Yeah, that's who we are. So you better get that right, straightened out right here and now. You better get that straightened out in your heart. We are not better than our forefathers. We can correct ourselves. We can understand, of course. Well, I want to say in the message tonight, what I really want to say is from our Psalm 36. But maybe some of you don't quite understand what I'm saying, and that's okay. Maybe some like need to figure it out and think about it. But would you just sit peacefully, quietly at your seat and have a discussion with the person next to you and see if you agree on this, okay? Just to process it in your heart. Are we better than our forefathers? Are we capable of the same things? Are we better than our forefathers? You know what's so interesting is that we are those people that are able to admit that the problem with this world is me. Amen. That's tough. Oh, I would never do that. How can you say that? How do you know your own heart? What are you capable of? There's a story about a Jew who was at the Nuremberg trials for the Nazi criminals, and he listened to the testimony of one of the Nazi officers, and he just started to cry. He was just crying profusely. And after they said, why did you cry? He said, because I realized he was just an average person like me, and that I am capable of the same thing that he did. Wow. I have a reaction in my heart about this cancel culture thing. Turn to one other verse, Ecclesiastes 7. It's beautiful when you are a Spirit-filled believer and the Holy Spirit is teaching you and you walk with God, because humility is important in walking with God. And when you look at other people and judge them And I mean the people in the past. When we look at other people, even criminals, even very serious evil people, don't you know what the sin nature? I am a son, a child of these people. I am related to them. I am evil like they are. This is doctrine. It's awesome. Remember in the 1950s, they had a new psychological, a new technique in psychology for mentally handicapped people that was called a lobotomy. They severed the front hemisphere of the brain, and these people were vegetables. They stopped doing it. Why? Didn't work. Is there a time when we would look back at something that was done in science or something that was done as a technique and just see it as some kind of a disaster? Yeah. Like, would there be a time in our future when the people would laugh at our generation and say that we mutilated the bodies of little girls and boys? Like transgendering them? Is it, what is going on? Well, I am in this race of people that is capable of being wrong. Amen. And when you and I have found Christ, our focus changes from judging to ministering. We don't judge, we minister, we love, because God is love, and God has told us what we are capable of. We're going to look at Psalm 36 in a minute, a little bit, but just this, we'll close with this. Look at Ecclesiastes 7, 21 and 22. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Do you see that verse? Take no heed to all words that are spoken in the locker room, on social media, on the telephone, at a birthday party. Because sometimes people speak and they don't know what they're talking about. And so don't listen to it all. It doesn't matter to you. You have found, and this is where our message is going tonight, we have found something deeper and more important than what people may say or how they may offend you. Look at verse 21. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken by you, but lest you hear your servant curse you. For oftentimes also, your own heart knows that you yourself likewise has cursed others. I would say somebody could be somewhere talking about me, and they could just say something, oh, he is stupid, you know. So then somebody tells me, they said at that party that you're stupid. And what do I say about it? Maybe I am. Actually, they got that right. But the scripture says, don't take heed to all the words that are spoken, because you yourself know that you have spoken out of order. You have said things that you shouldn't have said. You know, this happened. This happens. But behind it is something deeper, and that is, you are not overly sensitive. You're not easily offended. You have love. And you would rather think, okay, the guy said I'm stupid. I wonder why he said it, or maybe does he need any help? Maybe should I talk to him? Why is he talking like that? Or maybe it isn't anything. But the kind of, there's like a saying, you can tell how big a man is by how how small he is by how small the thing is that bothers him. Or you could say how big a man is by how great is the thing that pleases him. Right? So I just feel tonight to share a couple of these things with you for our service. So, okay, I'm back. Thank you for that song. Huh? That's so great, so awesome. Yeah, beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. What great days we live in, huh? Amazing. I asked Pastor Steve to give me a definition for cancel culture. So he put it up. There it is. Cancel culture. I think you know it. It's not a primary message. You can relax. What kind of church is this? Okay, cancel culture. The phenomenon of promoting the canceling or erasing of people, getting rid of them, brands, and even shows and movies, due to what some consider to be offensive or problematic remarks or ideologies or practices. I wonder if we would be included one day. Are we offensive to the powers that are in charge? Are there powers in charge? And could they look with self-righteousness on us and say, that is wrong. That is wrong. And Psalm 94:20 says, they frame mischief by a law. They frame mischief by a law. And that happened to Daniel in Daniel 6 when they couldn't find any grounds to go against Daniel. They made a law. What was the law that they made? Passed a law. Yeah, you cannot pray to any god but the golden image, the Nebuchadnezzar, for 30 days. You cannot pray for 30 days to any other god. But he's a Jew. The first commandment, love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and have no other gods before you. So he can't do it, not even for 30 days. Smudge it a little bit, smudge the record, you know. Like kind of, no, he can't. Because the Spirit of God is in you. And you have what you have because it's the Spirit in you. You have it in your spirit. You have the Spirit of truth and love in your heart. So the cancel culture, the people in charge of canceling you out, or maybe big organizations, recently the NFL. I'm not saying there isn't ground. I'm just saying behind this growing system is the whole idea of self-righteousness. In Romans 10, 2, and 3. Those are key verses for us. Would you turn there with me? Romans 10, verse 2, regarding the Jews. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So you, to the folks, you can leave that up there, that definition up there for me. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, there it is, they're ignorant of God's righteousness, right? To use our, I'm the one in charge of that. Okay, to use our house definition, the first floor and second floor, the house, the carnal man is only in the first floor of the house, and this is his world, and it's easy for him to be self-righteous. but he doesn't have the righteousness of God, which is up here. God is righteous. He has self-righteousness, and he can invent it. He thinks it. He has it in his culture, in his heart, his own morality, his own idea of what is right and wrong. And they might say the way we believe in God is wrong. We are narrow, bigoted, prejudiced, hateful. They use the language, hate speech, and many words that you know. But I wanted to say this and then go to Psalm 36 as a reference for our, that's our message tonight, but I want to take a little time, and I want you to think with me, because it takes time to learn these things from the Scripture. And here we have it very clearly, verse 3. Being ignorant of God's righteousness. That's like being ignorant of Jesus, because Jesus has God's righteousness, and they go about to establish their own righteousness. So they do have their righteousness, but it's their own. It's their own, you know. It's kind of like a man is not to abuse a woman. You know, he's not to abuse a woman. And then they sell pornography like crazy, discrediting women, dishonoring women. A man is not to abuse a woman. He's to honor her and respect her and treat her decently. But then the movies are filled with violence and rape and murder and swearing and profanity. It's like the man goes with his girlfriend and then he is charged with rape and or abuse, or and he might himself say, "Wow, I had no idea that I would end up in jail. I had no idea that this would happen to me." But it happened to you because there's something you don't understand, and it is that this world has a very hard time teaching us, guiding us, telling us we are wrong, leading us in truth. This world has, because they don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the righteousness of God. They don't have God. And if you live in this world without God, what can we expect? But someday we are going to be misunderstood. We will be mistreated. One day you might find yourself canceled, and you might say, "Yeah, I said some bad things, but I repented. What about that? Forgive me." Or I stand in front of a podium and I say, "Forgive me." Does that count? "No, you do not mean that. That's not, I don't trust you. You're a bad person." Well, they're judging, and that's what we can expect in this world. Judgment. Men are very, very capable of devising their own mind through their sin. Through the sin. We are looking for God's mind through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So turn with me now to Psalm 36, and it's a short outline and breakdown of the whole psalm. And look at Psalm 36, and you go from verse 1 to verse 4. And you have this mischief, this wrong judgment. You have men that are proud, that are causing a lot of trouble. Look at verse 1. By the way, I think everybody knows our hearts here, and I'm like making my way in the message, and I know there's room for you to misunderstand me. But I think you can follow it. And I don't, many things that are wrong, we need to say they are wrong. But then there is something more than just destroying somebody. There's something more. There is God. And restoring somebody, and loving somebody, and forgiving somebody. You know, there's something more to this world than just destroying people. And somebody being on the top of the pile, deciding who gets destroyed, and what is right and what is wrong, when they are the children of the men that killed the prophets. We are the people, and to walk carefully, so we've got Psalm 36, and the good part of the psalm, I mean, it's all good, very good, actually, incredibly good, is from verse 6 to verse 12. So, I think maybe we should start with the good stuff. Let's go to verse 5 of Psalm 36. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. This means God is merciful. God is faithful. When you have made a mistake, what, you think you've never made any mistake? Or you don't have some skeleton in your closet somewhere of some mistake, something you have said or done? What, you and I think we're clean, that we'll always be clean? Be careful. The things that are done in darkness will be shown in the light. Be careful. Confess to God. He is merciful and forgiving and very gracious. This is our new occupation. I'm not afraid of the cancel culture because that's not my life. I have God who has forgiven me. God who's given me grace, God who upholds me, God who fills us with the Spirit, and we love our neighbor. We love our neighbor. We love people that are different from us. There is no difference. We love people. Look at the verse 6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Thank you, Lord. These are little hills. These are little molehills that these people are talking about. Oh, you know, he said something. He was in the office, and something happened. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it, but I don't like it when people are framed and people are judged and their lives are destroyed without due process, without witnesses, without the righteousness that is from God, the wisdom that comes from God is like high, like mountains, how righteous God is. Wow, God is righteous. People are not. Your judgments are great deep, verse 6. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Just the fact that we woke up this morning is a gift. The fact that animals are on the earth and fish are in the sea, the fact that we have oxygen and water and heat, and we have the sun and the moon and the skies and clouds and every day, and how good God is. Think about God. Worship God. This is our life. It's a huge life of mercy and forgiveness. This cancel culture, I want to ask a question about it here. This one. Erasing people for their remarks and ideology. Several celebrities have had their careers derailed due to outrage expressed. Okay, what about, is there anything about mercy? Canceling somebody out? Is there anything about forgiveness? Is there any way back? Is there any way that somebody can, I mean, are we just to destroy people? It says in Matthew 24, it says, the love of many will wax cold because iniquity abounds. There it is. That's cold. That's cold. That's not mercy. Just using it to illustrate something about human nature, that we would not have our trust in our eyes focused on human nature, because the devil loves to divide. He would divide a church, divide a family, divide a country. He loves to divide. He loves hatred and suspicion, and he loves judgment and self-righteousness. But our God keeps the whole thing running every day by his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. All the gifts that we have, without any payment, our eyes and our ears and our stomach and our legs and our arms and our words and our friends and our motivation and everything that we have. Go to the next verse there. It goes, verse 7. How excellent is your loving kindness. This is the word for grace, has said, O God. How excellent is your grace. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Come to God. Trust in him. He is kind. He is forgiving. He is merciful. He gives gifts to men. He is very patient. There's a verse, 1 Kings, that I'd love to have you take note of sometime. It says, 1 Kings 21, is it 37 maybe, or 39? It goes, have you seen Ahab? How he has humbled himself greatly. Have you seen this wicked king, Ahab? He has humbled himself greatly. He has humbled himself greatly. So therefore, I will not kill his sons while he's alive. I'll do it after he's dead. Isn't that amazing? God would even do something gracious and merciful for that man, that wicked man. Yeah, God would. God would. Amos 7, there's something God said to Amos, I'm going to do this. And then Amos said, oh, Lord, don't do that. And then it says, and the Lord decided not to do it. And then there's a second one, I'm going to do this. And Amos said, oh, Lord, do not do that. Save your people. And the Lord said, okay, I changed my mind. That's who I want in my life. That's who I love and who I that's the life I want. I am tired of the anger, the confusion. I can see the division. I can see the spreading of hatred by the devil. I can see people getting angry and reactionary. But I can also see another kind of people, a people that is like blessed by God. They're blessed by God in their hearts. They're blessed by God in their fellowship, in their words. They're blessed by God when they go to sleep at night. They're blessed by God when they get up in the morning, they live their life. They're blessed by God. It's written here. Look at Psalm 36, verse 7. Therefore, the children put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. And you shall make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Have we been drinking of the river of God's pleasures? Is there such a river? There is a river that makes glad the city of God. There is a river that comes out of your belly in John 7. Is there a river in heaven that comes out of the city of God in Revelation 22? There is a river. It's a river of God's pleasures. That's why we can live in any culture. We can live at any time in history. We can live anywhere. We can be with any kind of people, and we have some kind of ministry, a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of restoration, a ministry of wisdom, a ministry of caring about people, and it is a ministry of righteousness that is present, not arrogance, like, oh, I can't believe that. You know, it's like, hey, we fought a civil war. We lost 607,000 men. We paid a price as a country to get rid of slavery. We paid a price. A lot of people lost their sons and their fathers and their uncles. They lost, and the country suffered incredibly for generations because it was wrong. It was wrong. It was decided way back then. And we believe it today. We believe it today. Why are we digging it up? Why are we talking about it except to produce hatred, spread seeds of discord, bring people down to a level of thinking like the first four verses of the psalm? Let's go there. First four verses. The transgression of the wicked says within my heart, that's like me tonight, Tom Schaller, there's something about the wickedness of people that is saying, in my heart, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't care about God. They do the Super Bowl halftime show, and it's profane. It's wicked. The rappers are cursing. They're stripping clothes off, halftime NFL. And these are the people upholding righteousness. These are the people telling us that we're misogynists, racists, and so on. These are the people that are righteous, that are passing judgment and canceling people. It's hypocrisy. Jesus said, you are the sons of those slave owners. You have to do the same thing, and you're doing it now. You are arrogant people that are passing judgment in your arrogance and in your blindness. Why do I say it? Because it's written here. Read it with me, verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. Oh, you are so great, these leaders, flattering themselves in their own eyes. They're so righteous and so upright until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Halftime show. We found your iniquity. Halftime show. And Hollywood. And many other expressions. And covetousness. And stealing. And lying. And deceit. And pride. And arrogance. It's all garbage. I could care less about it. And it one day may put you in trouble. But I could care less because I already know the end of the story. I mean, I say that boldly tonight because I'm not hurting. But listen to me. I'm telling you, if you find Christ, you get passionate about him. If you find God, you love him with all your heart. If you find truth, you embrace it with all your heart. If you found Jesus, then you walk with Jesus. And you make a difference. You make a statement. I could care less about the baloney and the garbage and the hypocrisy of the age. You are fools. It says it. Let's read it. Verse 2. Verse 3, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He's left off to be wise and to do good. He calls a little girl a boy, or a boy a girl. You are a wicked, evil man. You are teaching little children at school about sex. You are a filthy, wicked, evil man. And the system that is embracing it, I have no respect for anybody that would do such a foolish, wicked, evil thing, and you expect us to sit back and you're threatening to cancel us? Oh, we're shaking in our boots. I could care less about your system. And one day, one day you will have yours. One day you will be down. One day God will bring you down. One day, Daniel will be thrown into the lion's den, and he'll come walking out. Because this is God. I want you to know God. and not fool around with this stuff. If it's wrong, you can say it. I don't agree with it. You can be kind, but you be wise. You can learn how to talk and say, that is ridiculous, and walk away. I don't accept it. I have no respect for that. That's not in my family. Well, you're an old-fashioned traditionalist, yes? I in my family, I listen to me, I honor my mother and my father. My father told me to respect women. My father told me, the Schaller family, we don't litter. Okay? Pastor Bryant does this. He said the same thing to his family. We don't throw paper on the floor, on the ground. And we never punch a woman in the stomach. We're little boys. And my mother and father would say, never punch a little girl in the stomach. That's odd. Never do that. Where is that teaching? What does it mean? How do we live? I mean, I say, I am not embracing. You say we're evolving. Yeah. Really, right into a cesspool. Yeah, evolving into being barbarians. We are barbarians. We have a thin layer of civility, very thin layer of civility, and we will murder millions of people very capably of doing it wickedly and evilly and take advantage in sex trafficking and many other wicked, evil things that happen every day. So bear with me. I want to finish up because we did it. We did enough of it. Maybe. Verse 4. He devises mischief upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. That's their problem. So you say, as for me and my house, we're different. We love you. We love people that are different. As for me and my house, we want to fear God because that's the beginning of wisdom. And I want to take joy in the pleasures, the rivers of pleasures that are coming from his right hand. So jump back down to verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee. Thy righteousness to the upright in heart. The righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. They might. They removed Jesus. The hand of the wicked came against him, but he came back and he won. And he's on the throne. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. It's over. There's a day. We all have our day. That's another good statement. Why do you believe this? We all face God one day. And then you can just walk away. We'll all face God one day. One day, all of us. And God is merciful and loving, and he will save you. You'll come into your life and know him. You will know him. That's the answer for our country. Our country is to preach the gospel so that people would know Christ. And I have hope. I see it happening. I see the prayer at the flagpole up in the high school up in Harford County. I see 100 kids praying at the flagpole. I have hope. I hear it. I see the shock that is with common American people. We're shocked. We're watching it happen. We're in shock. Who's in power? What is going on? How is this happening? What's happening in the schools and the universities? And what's happening with people with their jobs and their future and their families? And I think we're only starting to see the beginning of the trouble that we might have as a people. But I am so happy that we have God. And we have God in our hearts. Okay, amen. Yeah, if you're here tonight and you have some questions in your heart about this whole thing, it's good. It's good. The righteous study to answer, so you have some homework. It's to sort it all out, to read your Bible, to ask God to help you, to counsel you, to have good friends around you, to listen to the ministry of the Spirit to you personally. If you're not a believer, we encourage you tonight to make this your birthday. This is your spiritual birthday by putting your trust in Christ, the answer in this troubled world. And then thank you for coming tonight and listening to the Word and having fellowship together as a family. Midweek, I need the midweek service. I need these services. I need my sisters and brothers in the days that we are living. We just need the love that we have and the blessing at the right hand of God all the time as a river flowing to us. You're saying yes to Jesus, and we just walk with him. He will answer you. Get established in your faith. Get rooted and grounded in it. Understand it better. Walk by faith in him and trust him. Don't get discouraged. If you sin and you do, confess it to him. He forgives you. And pick up yourself. Get up and go on. Walk by faith in him, and you will know him. You will know him. You will know him. Wow.